Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of a series that I've been doing for 4 weeks now, talking about "As I Have Loved You." That's a quotation from Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, we are to love other people the way that He has loved us. And I've been talking about how God loved us, that He loves us completely separate from what we deserve. And I have spent 4 weeks talking about that. Today's my last day. Again, I just want to emphasize that we have this new series. This is a DVD set that was taken directly from our television programs. If God has spoken to you through these and touched you some way, you can get this DVD set, and it is these exact programs. You can renew those things that God has spoken to you through the TV. This is a CD set that was taken from a Gospel Truth seminar that I taught in Houston, Texas. And I tell you, these are powerful, and they would really bless you. Today's my last day to make that offer, so please call or write today. Let me turn over to the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 5, I've been talking about how God loves us. I've taught it from Scripture. I've taught it from scriptural examples where Jesus showed love towards Judas, who was going to betray Him in just hours, where He showed love towards a woman who was an outcast, where He showed love towards a woman who was actually taken in the very act of adultery. And I've used all of these things, doctrine and examples, to show that God's love for us is not performance-based. It's not conditional on how well we perform. That is different than what most people have heard. And it's that difference, the religious concept that God loves us tied to our performance, only when we deserve it, that makes the love of God of no effect in your life. And I've used all of these scriptures and these examples trying to get across that God's love is unconditional. Now, it's one thing to accept that and to say, I see it. But then you need to experience it. And that's what I've been talking about this week out of Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Paul prayed a prayer there, and he prayed that we would comprehend with all saints the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God, and then that we would experience God's love, which passes mere knowledge about God's love. And if that happens, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, that's powerful. I ministered on that earlier in this week. And if you could just take that prayer, understand what it's talking about, and put your name in there, and then experience this unconditional love where it's not performance-based, if you would experience that, I guarantee you it would change the way you treat other people, the way you deal with life's hardships. But the problem is most people haven't understood and ever experienced this love. They may say that God loves them, but it's not an experiential knowledge, and that's the reason they aren't filled with all the fullness of God. So here in Romans chapter 5, I'm breaking right into the midst of some things that he was teaching, but I want to focus on verse 5. It says in Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Man, this has transformed my life. You know, I've given many, many examples about how God has revealed His love to me. I don't claim that I've got it all figured out. I don't understand fully. I'm still in the process of learning. But I can tell you that God's love changed my life. And it's what set a fire on the inside of me. Any decent thing that ever happened in my life happened because God showed me His love for me when I was at my very worst. And I mean, it changed my life. And this is everything I talk about is all based on that. And it happened, this example, this experience that I talked about, March the 23rd, 1968, what actually happened was I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is going to rub some people's religion and theology the wrong way. But I'm telling you what happened to me, and I can back this up by Scripture. And that is, I was born again when I was 8 years old. But I was 18 years old, 10 years later, when I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came into my life, I mean, it instantly changed everything. My love for God, my love for people just increased exponentially. It's like an explosion took place. And let me also say that my love for myself went right down the tubes. You know, one of the reasons that people don't love other people and love God the way they should is because they're so busy loving themselves. And you've got to get to where you exalt love for God and love for other people ahead of yourself. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, Paul said how that Jesus, you know, He was in the form of God. He knew it was just, it was right for Him to be God because He was God manifest in the flesh, and yet He lowered Himself and humbled Himself and put other people first. And Paul said we are supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. That just flies in the face of everything in our society today. That is the exact opposite of the world view. Everybody's putting themselves ahead. If they don't take care of themselves, nobody else will. That might be true if there wasn't a God, but there is a God who said that when you exalt yourself, He'll debase you. But when you humble yourself, He will lift you up. I was just so focused on myself that I didn't have this love for God and love for other people. But when the Holy Spirit came, He poured, it's just like it says right here, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, or that's old English for the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is different from salvation, it's actually a byproduct of salvation. It is purchased for everyone who has salvation, but it's not automatic. When you make Jesus your Lord and get born again, you don't just instantly have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I could prove this in a lot of ways, and I haven't got time on today's program to turn over and show you all of this. I'll just mention it. And then I've got this little book that I'm going to make available in addition to the materials that we've been offering for the last 4 weeks. And this is entitled The New You and the Holy Spirit. And I'll make this available to anybody who wants to get that. That'll be our gift to you. But in this book, it'll make it clear and explain that the disciples were born again when they saw Jesus after the resurrection and they confessed that He was their Lord and their God. That's what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the Scripture says. And like, for instance, in John chapter 20, Thomas saw Jesus resurrected and he fell on his knees and he says, "My Lord and my God." He fulfilled the requirements of Romans 10, 9. So according to Scripture, Thomas was born again right then when he confessed Jesus as his Lord and believed that He was alive from the dead. And yet, Jesus told Thomas and every one of the other apostles, He says, "Don't go anywhere. Don't tell anybody about the resurrection." In Acts chapter 1, let me just turn over and read this. He was speaking to His disciples, and this is the last thing He said before He was caught up into heaven. And He told them in verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This says we receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And religion has taught that you got the Holy Spirit and everything when you first got born again. And yet, I've used this example to show that Thomas and the other disciples were born again when they confessed Jesus as their Lord, and yet they did not have the Holy Spirit. He told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that when the Holy Spirit came, they would receive power. So it was separate from their born-again experience. And this is not just an isolated event. Some people will say, well, that was because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet on the day of Pentecost. But after the day of Pentecost, then everybody got the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time that they got saved. But again, that's not what the Scripture teaches. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, you can see where Philip went down and preached, and the people got born again. They were water baptized. They repented. They took all of their books on witchcraft and they burnt them. They were committing themselves to God, and yet they sent to Jerusalem and asked the apostles to come down and lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They were already born again, but they did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and there's others, I'm just picking these out as examples, but in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, he found some people who were disciples. These weren't disciples of, the Pharisees or something like that. They were people who were born again. They were Christians, and yet he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We hadn't even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit." That proves that denominations go all the way back to the time of Paul, because these people had never even heard of the Holy Spirit, just like many denominational people today. And they thought, "Well, I got saved. Isn't that it? Didn't I get everything?" No. He told them, he says, "John preached that you get born again, that you make Jesus your Lord and receive salvation." But then he also preached that there would come a baptism of fire. And when these people heard it, then they repented and they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke with tongues. And so I've used 3 or 4 examples here, and there's more, to show that people were born again, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. This is my case. I got born again when I was 8, but I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit until I was 18. And I could show you the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of people who had a second encounter with God. It's not separate from salvation, but it's not automatic upon salvation. There is a second encounter where you open up, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive a baptism of love. This is what I've been talking about receiving the love of God, making it an experiential thing instead of just an intellectual thing. And I tell you, that happens when you receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what I received on March the 23rd, 1968. I was filled with God's love. The Bible just came alive to me. The Bible says that the Scriptures were written by men who were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that moved people to write this Bible. The Holy Spirit is the author of this Word. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible just comes alive. I don't have the words to fully describe that, but the Holy Spirit takes these words that are just ink on a piece of paper and makes them living. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful. The Word becomes alive when you receive the Holy Spirit. You know, when I first received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's what happened to me March the 23rd, 1968, I didn't speak in tongues immediately. And I know that there's some people that teach that you have to speak in tongues, and if you haven't spoken in tongues, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was full of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that manifested itself in my life was that the Word just came alive. I couldn't open the Bible without God just screaming at me, and I mean making the Word so alive, it just transformed my life, and it's still that way today. And it was 3.5 years after that before I spoke in tongues, but that's because I was a Baptist, and I was taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil. And you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't force you to speak in tongues. When I have people come forward at my meetings, I always try and explain this, because people will want the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're even willing to speak in tongues if that's what the Lord wants them to do. But they just sit there and they open their mouth and they wait on God to make them talk. That's not how speaking in tongues is. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "They spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." They spoke, the Holy Spirit inspired it. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues, but He inspires you to speak in tongues. It's very similar to when I teach like this. If I was to get up here and if I was to pray with my camera crew and say, "Oh God, speak to me through people, speak through me to people today, and don't let me say anything that's not of you." And then I just open up my mouth and stick my tongue out and wait on the Holy Ghost to make my tongue move, I'd never get anything said. I wouldn't be able to have much of a television ministry. I guarantee you, it's me talking. That's the reason it comes out in Texan. It's me that's talking. It's my sense of humor. But I really do believe that God is inspiring it. I believe I'm speaking by the power of God. And speaking in tongues is like that. You have to speak and believe that the Holy Spirit is inspiring it. And because I had been taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil, I resisted it. And the Holy Spirit didn't make me talk in tongues. He doesn't take my mouth and just make it talk. You will hear sometimes Pentecostals say that when you receive the Holy Spirit, it just overwhelms you and you can't control it, and that it's something that you can't stop. It just happens. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, specifically talking about speaking in tongues, it says, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's just a way of saying that you can control it. The Holy Spirit's not going to force you to speak in tongues. Right now, I'm not speaking in tongues. I could. If I wanted to, right now, I can pray in tongues. But it's not beneficial for me to be speaking in a language that you don't understand. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue when I'm trying to reach people. And so I could speak in tongues right now, but I'm not, because I choose whether I speak in tongues or not. The Holy Spirit doesn't force it. And because I didn't know that truth, I didn't speak in tongues when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't force you to do it. You have to choose to do it. And I'd been taught and prejudiced against speaking in tongues so much that I just didn't do it. But it wasn't very long after I received the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit started leading me into the Word. I started learning what the Bible had to say, not what my denomination had to say about being filled with the Holy Spirit and about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And within a very short period of time, I started longing to speak in tongues. I had so much wrong thinking that it took a while for me to get it out of me and renew my mind. And really, the breaking point for me was this scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And I finally realized the Holy Spirit isn't going to speak in tongues. I have to speak in tongues and by faith believe that it was the Holy Spirit that inspired it. And when I saw that, then I launched out and I started making sounds that weren't English. I made them. It was me talking. But it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it didn't take very long. I struggled for a while still because I had this religious teaching that makes the Word of God of no effect. And I struggled for a long period of time, but I just kept doing it because of what the Word of God says. And I had a number of supernatural experiences. I won't take time to tell you what they were, but God confirmed to me in supernatural ways that it wasn't just me talking. It was me talking, but it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I finally crossed a line where I knew that what I was doing was not just me, but it was me under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And since that time, I've not looked back, and I pray in tongues every day. I've prayed in tongues today. I pray in tongues all of the time. I know that there's some of you disappointed to hear that, because you've watched this program and I teach from the Word, and I'm not like the typical Pentecostal that's up here screaming and yelling and saying glory to God, and I don't wipe my fevered brow. And some of you were just receiving, and now that you found out that I speak in tongues, some of you are very disappointed. But you know what? It's real. It changed my life. And if you like the fruit that you see in my life, then you need to accept the root. I'm telling you that this baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, is when the love of God was poured out in my life. And if you want to have an experiential knowledge of the love of God, then you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you need to speak in tongues. And all of the rest of the gifts, it's not limited to speaking in tongues. There's other spiritual gifts that God gives you. And I know that somebody's watching this program and saying, do you have to speak in tongues? No, you don't have to speak in tongues. I received the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues, but that's because I was a Baptist and had been taught against it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit includes speaking in tongues. You don't have to speak in tongues. You get to speak in tongues. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Somebody says, does everybody speak in tongues? Yep, it's like when you get a pair of tennis shoes. They all come with tongues. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, you can choose not to do it. I know some people who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's genuine, but they just don't understand the benefit of it. I haven't got time to tell you on this program about that. This little book that I've got will explain to you about why speaking in tongues is important, about what's going on. It is really, really important, and I just haven't got enough time to tell you all of those things. But I know people that don't know these truths, and because of it, they spoke in tongues when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then they don't use it very much because the Holy Spirit's not going to force you to do this. But I'm saying that it is a powerful gift. When you pray in tongues, it's just like flipping a switch. It's just like turning on a light switch, and all that power begins to flow and the light comes on. When you pray in tongues, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14 that it's your spirit that's praying. The spirit part of you is the part that's renewed, that has the mind of Christ. It's your brain up here. It's this physical mind where all your doubt and unbelief and your confusion is. And so people that don't pray in tongues and they're just praying with their intellect, they are filtering all of this through this confusion and through these wrong doctrines and through stuff. When you pray in tongues, it's not your brain praying, it's your spirit praying, and you're bypassing the limits of your mind. You're bypassing your confusion. You are praying from your born-again spirit and communicating with your Father without the hang-ups that you have when you pray with your brain. I remember talking to Oral Roberts not long before he died, and he said he seldom prayed in English until after he had prayed in tongues, because you don't know how to pray as you should. But when you start praying in the Holy Spirit will quicken your prayer and give you guidance and leadership in how you should pray. And I agree with that. I tell you, speaking in tongues is super powerful. This is why the devil fights it so much. It doesn't make sense to your physical mind. And you're going to have thoughts that this is silly. This is foolish. This is just me. And if you persevere, you have to start speaking in tongues by faith. Speaking in tongues will force you into a realm of faith that you won't get into with just praying with your natural mind. And that's one of the reasons that it's so important. It is a powerful experience. You know, you can receive the Holy Spirit. You first of all have to be born again. If you've not received Jesus as your Lord, the Bible says Jesus is the one who gives the Holy Spirit. So you have to receive the giver before you receive the gift. If you have not ever received this unconditional love of Jesus and been born again, you need to receive that. And then after you get born again, you can receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm out of time today on my program, but we have a number on our screen that if you will call, they will give you these materials on this album entitled, As I Have Loved You. They will also give you this free book. This is going to be a free offer to those of you who call or write today, one day only, and this will explain true salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they will also pray with you. If you want to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, call that number on your screen. And ask for the materials, but also ask for somebody to pray with you, and this will change your life.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, As I Have Loved You, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is titled, How Can I Know? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Financial Stewardship for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. A Spanish version is also available.
Let me remind you that today is my last day to offer you this new album that I have entitled, As I Have Loved You, talking about God's kind of love for you. This is a CD set that was taken from a Gospel Truth Seminar live teaching, and this is taken from our television programs, these exact programs that you've watched. This is a DVD that has that on there. And today will be my last day to make any of these materials available, as well as the fifth teaching in this album as our total gift to you. Then we also, this is the only day I'm offering this book entitled The New You and the Holy Spirit. And this will cover what true salvation is and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So listen to our announcer and call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources through our website. While there, you can discover more product details and download free additional resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 26th through the 28th, in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 16th through the 18th, and in Chicago at New Life Covenant Church Sunday, August 19th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 9th through the 14th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 15th and 16th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 1st through the 5th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Meet world changer and filmmaker Darren Wilson. His first feature, Finger of God, became a runaway bestseller on Amazon.com. It was the story of a skeptic's journey into faith, proving that God is still in the business of miracles today. His second film, Furious Love, documented the glorious light of God's love shining in the darkest corners of our world. It too became a bestseller. Now, for his next feature, Father of Lights, Darren unveils the loving heart of our Heavenly Father as seen in intimate and powerful relationship with His children. For this film, Darren recently met and interviewed Andrew Womack in Chicago. Throughout the interview, Darren was perceivably blessed by Andrew's perspective on the almost too good to be true gospel of God's love and grace. This final film in Darren's epic trilogy will introduce Andrew's message to a whole new audience. Look for Father of Lights, Darren Wilson's next bestseller, coming this year. And be sure to visit charisbiblecollege.org's upcoming events for information about the July 29th premiere showing of Father of Lights, hosted by Darren Wilson himself at Charis Bible College, Colorado Springs.